Fedheads, you're tuned in to another episode of Cigar Chat. I'm your guest co-host, John the Cigar Surgeon. Cigar Chat is broadcast around the world and picked up on the Armed Forces Radio Network. And of course, Cigar Chat is broadcast live on CigarFederation.com, YouTube.com, and now the fancy-dancy new Facebook Live. So if you're watching in, tuning in live, fantastic. Thanks for tuning in. Drop us a comment. We're probably not going to read it, though, because we're too busy watching our fancy-dancy consoles here. If you're listening by podcast, thanks very much for subscribing. We, of course, picked up on every podcast catcher in the world. Tune in every week. I am joined, as always, by my host.
Sure.
Host, Logan. What's going on, Logan? Welcome back.
Nothing, man. Good, man. Hey, how are you?
Well, you know, sounds like we're going to be warmer this weekend than you guys are. What's up with that?
What temperature is supposed to be there this weekend in old America's Top Hat?
Dude, we're gonna be in the 50s.
Dude, it's gonna be in the 70s, but at night it'll probably get down in the 50s.
Okay. Fair enough. We're,
so but didn't so, it snow on the west or the east coast? They got like a foot or two of snow?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
how's that possible?
Well, and in fact, not only that, but we got last weekend, so everyone's talking about, you know, oh, we got a foot of snow, we got a foot of snow. We got a foot of snow on like one day on the weekend. That was like a single day worth of snow. I think over the weekend, we got something like 18 inches of snow, which is, I mean, I just, you know, I can just give me some warm weather so I can smoke. I just want to smoke a cigar. It's brutal. We are joined, of course, by our special guest, Jared. What's going on, Jared? Moonbeam.
Right away.
Moonbeam. Hey, gotta, but get, you know what the name was gonna be if it wasn't Moonbeam?
I forget what the other name was gonna be.
No, but Jared, you gotta tell him.
I still gotta go and double check my facts, make sure I'm not saying it wrong. But if I have everything right, if it wasn't Moonbeam, option number two was Laser.
So
Moonbeam Laser.
So the cool news is you would have had a great career in American Gladiator,
yes.
Right?
Oh yeah.
You would have been a star in America, or you would have been a WWE wrestler, one of the two.
Or porn.
We're porn. Although I'm sure it's taken.
Yes, could have multitasked.
They called him Moonbeam Johnston or Laser.
Laser Johnston.
That's a hell of a porn name right there.
Hell of a porn name right there. Anyways. Pulling it back. This episode of Cigar Chat, we are talking about the exciting trip that you two yahoos took off, went to the Dominican Republic, didn't manage to get shot, because the Dominican Republic is actually quite safe. You didn't get kidnapped, you didn't get shot. And the worst he came back with was a sinus infection, so all is good. Who wants to go first and talk about this awesome media trip? First of all, how many people were on the media trip?
I'll let Jared talk. I'll let Jared start because he was making a comment like I would let him talk. So I'm going to let him go first.
Oh, it wasn't you wouldn't let me talk comment. It was a I don't talk, and we'll see how long it takes me to open up and say something.
We're
kind of comment.
You're going
to
kick it off, sir.
But I already have. So I can answer John's question if I remember right. We had 10 of us, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, there were 10 of us, and then Victoria and all the rest of the general crew that followed us around there.
And how long were you guys down there for? I don't even remember. Was it 5 days, 4 days?
It was Sunday to Thursday.
Yeah, showed up Sunday night, left Thursday morning. So 3 full days and then 2 little pieces.
All right. Well, walk our captive audience through maybe the first day and, you know, what the – well, first of all, maybe give our audience a sense of what this whole trip was about. Give us an overview and then we'll maybe talk about some of the particulars.
Yeah. So, I mean, here's the trip in a nutshell. So General Cigar, which I think most people are familiar with, you know, hasn't had a media trip since, I believe it was 2011. So they invited about 10 different media, well, not 10 different sites down, but a handful of sites, which included Cigar Federation, Stogie Review, Dojo. Don't tell me the other ones, Jared. Cigar Coop, Stogie Guys, and Average Joe's Cigar, and Blind Man's Puff. So we went down. So the first day was pretty much all traveling. I had the wonderful experience of leaving Austin about, I don't know, 5 in the morning, 6 in the morning, landing in Miami about 10 o'clock. Apparently no one was awake or felt like hanging out with me. So I got to sit in the smoking lounge, which, pro tip, if you're in the Miami airport, head over to the North Terminal. It's approximately gate D40 or 30. It's either 36 or 40 30, right in that area.
36.
There's a TGI Fridays, which is smoking. And I literally sat there for 8 hours, smoked cigars, and made friends with everybody.
So that actually is an important pro tip for all travelers going through Miami, because had I known that, there are several instances where I've been at the Miami airport for like 4 hours, and that is a super pro tip.
Yeah, anyways, that's because Logan's pretty genius.
Yeah, Logan knows. I guess if someone's going to sniff out where the place is to smoke, it's going to be you, right?
It's going to be me.
It's going to be you.
True. It's going to be true. I did sniff it out.
All right, carry on.
I think the first person, my first compadre, arrived around 2 o'clock. That was Ben Lee from Stogie Review. And then about 4 o'clock, Brian Hewitt from Stogie Review arrived, and we sat in TGI Fridays. And then Moonbeam Blazer Johnston arrived about 5 o'clock, and we all boarded around 6 and took off. Didn't land in the Dominican until what time was it? Like 9 o'clock, 9:30?
Yeah, 9:30 their time.
And then just literally, my was in first class because I got upgraded like a champ. My bag was the first one off, but somehow we were the last ones through security because we were waiting on these Yahoo's bags. And then we went and just got to ate at the hotel. And that was pretty much it that night.
So with, because obviously I've never been to the Dominican Republic. I've only been to Nicaragua. How far is the hotel? Is it kind of like when you land in Managua, where there's a hotel right near the airport, or you got like a bit of a shuttle ride or what? What's the deal?
Oh, I thought you meant like Managua to Esteli. So like, no, it wasn't like that. I mean, you land in Santiago, so it's a pretty big city, kind of like Managua, I guess. But it wasn't that far, Jared. What would you say? Maybe like 20 minutes, 30 minutes?
Yeah, 20, 25 to the hotel. Yeah. It's nothing.
Could you smoke on the transport there?
Unfortunately, you could not. First night, they just rented like 2 big vans. And somehow it was funny because it was me, Ben, Jared, and Hewitt. We all got into one van and we're just lounging out while the other 6 plus Victoria plus somebody else from General all piled into one van by themselves. So
didn't want to be at the fat dudes or what?
I guess. Apparently not.
You guys stank after a day of travel?
Dude, I was rinking, man. I was rank. It was terrible. Got Nate. But the next day with the bus, they did do it up pro style. It was funny because you get on the bus, all the windows are, they had like a bus much like Cigar Safari, and it was all closed and everything, and everyone's like, can we smoke? And nobody wanted to ask. And who ended up asking? Was it me, Jared, or did Patrick ask?
I think it, oh, jeez. I almost think it was Patrick.
It was,
who turned his head, said, all right, I'll ask, yeah.
Yeah. But they asked, and he's like, sure. So, yeah, we did have a smoking bus the entire time, which was nice.
But you wouldn't have had a smoking bus if no one had the guts to speak up.
Well, we noticed the ash marks on the seat that were looking reminiscent of cigarettes, so we kind of figured that it was cool.
That's a clear indication.
That was a clear indication that it was legit, so.
All right, so that's day one. Moonbeam, you want to take us through day two? I know you do.
Oh, yeah. Logan got flight day, which my flight day is from Corpus is 3 planes to get in there. So that was just 3 planes.
Yeah, that's no good.
4 airports. So it's a long day. That's why I didn't check any bags, so nobody complained about my baggage. I was just carry on the whole way.
You was.
Bold.
So, trying to remember my day one or day two.
Got breakfast. You woke me up.
Well, that was every day of the trip. Wake up, get dressed.
So just like Vegas.
Just like Vegas, just like Nicaragua, just like anywhere I go with Logan, go to his room and it takes a good 5 minutes to rile this guy out of bed. I mean, open the blinds, yell at him, kick him, throw some pillows, and eventually he rolls around and he wakes up.
And so our audience knows, I have never in my life met anyone who wakes up as violently and as I don't even know what the word I'd be looking for
just
here.
Just angry, dog.
Just angry and disoriented. It's like, I mean, you hear the joke about somebody being a sleepy bear. You personify what it would be like to be waking up a bear who's been hibernation for, like, literally it's been like you've been asleep for the week and you're disoriented and angry and someone stabbed you, it is an interesting experience. Anyways, Moonbeam, sorry to cut you off. Please continue.
No joke, though. It's not for the faint of heart.
It's no joke.
That is an activity worth clarifying, because nobody will ever get it until they have to wake that guy up.
Nothing can prepare you.
It's rough, actually.
It's an experience. So once you get Logan out of bed, you have to make sure he's out of bed or he will fall back asleep.
That's true.
Go downstairs to the hotel, who has a nice little, I guess I'd say it's continental, a little better. You know, fruits and meats and a lot of not quite Americanized food, but a few American foods. And you get this guy to make you an omelet. He asks what toppings you want. He stirs up some eggs, make you an omelet, get some black coffee and some juice.
Now, is he asking you in Espanol or is he asking you in English?
His English was okay.
Yeah, he'd usually kind of like, the stuff was out in front and what do you
so
need?
You just point. Yeah. Point and grunt.
My Spanish is all right. I can tell you what I need to do.
It's all about Gibraltar and Frisa.
We're sitting at a hotel that obviously it's pretty good for Americans because the pilots and the stewardesses were down there with breakfast every day. So
that's true.
Fair enough.
Good hotel for travelers. So let's see. We eat and we pile on the bus. Supposed to be a 8 o'clock sharp, but nobody was real sharp on this trip.
Except us. We were actually pretty sharp, I think.
We were down there and ready to go, but for the most part, it took a good 20, 25 minutes for everybody else to get moving and get on the bus. And I'd say that first travel day, that was our longest day, all the way from Santiago to Mau, which took
an hour and a half.
Yeah, something like that. It was a pretty long trip to get out to the farms out there.
So
day one, right, first activity of the day is going out to visit the farms?
It was.
Yep. And yep, sorry, which farm was that?
Mau.
I'm trying to remember the name of the farm. I remembered it up until now. It's out in Mau, but the farm had a name. Started with an S, and I actually forget it.
All right, fair enough.
Santa Mau. Santa Mau. Anyways.
Yes. So, moving right along. Yeah.
It makes sense. We start first with the farm, talk to a couple of people. Don Kiko goes
over to Pasco's. That dude is legit. I love that guy. You went to Texas A&M.
Yes, he did.
Really?
Yeah, he was hella cool.
Nice.
Okay. Wealth of knowledge, but you could tell that he didn't want to share it with me. No, I'm just kidding. I asked him a ton of questions.
Did you ask him about your Missouri land?
I did not.
He wanted to work it?
Don Kiko is not the person I would probably approach about that, because I think Don Kiko probably would quickly dismiss me.
Fair enough.
But I did not bring it up, but it is on the table still if anyone's listening that help me cultivate about 15 acres of fine Missouri tobacco growing land. Offers open.
All right. So you get out to the plantation, to the tobacco. And how high are the plants at this point? Because this was 2 weeks ago? Week ago?
Go ahead, Jer.
Like I said,
this is our second
week
crop
ago on Monday, so. Was it?
This was their second planting, I believe.
Yeah, they started with the seed. They showed us the seeds and how they sort through those and some of the process they do to get to them. Yes, tiny seeds they send back to America to be rolled in clay to make them larger.
So they're bigger.
Yeah, so they can actually handle them. Yeah,
didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a process.
That's not what they do in Nicaragua. That's interesting.
Nicaragua, they just throw them in. But this was a pretty cool deal, is that it's just human ingenuity in the spirit of human ingenuity at its finest. Basically, they have like the planter trade. You can see it like Home Depot, filled with soil, peat moss, all this stuff. And I was like, well, how are you going to get the seeds in? So what they do is they dump a bunch of seeds on this little contraption, and they've got a shop vac hooked up to it. So it holds the seeds and sucks it. They flip it over, put it on the tray, turn the suction off, and the seeds fall in. I thought it was legit.
Oh,
it was kind of awesome. It was awesome. But it worked every time. It was kind of crazy. But we saw that in the seed process. They walked us through, a couple of different things around primings, and they had a few plants there, one that was really, really tall, and then the baby, the seedling. So they walked us through all that, which was really cool. And then the next thing we did was we went out to the farm, correct, Jared?
Yeah. Farm was next. And to answer your question right off there, the plants in the field where they were right up about my chest, armpit height.
So not good, extremely good tall. Good growth then.
Yeah, they were good size. Big.
What was interesting.
Well, before we get to the farm, I just want to remind our audience that they're tuned in to Cigar Chat broadcast live around the world and heard on the Armed Forces Radio Network. You're tuned in to Cigar Chat on CigarFederation.com. Cigar Chat is brought to you by Gurkha Cigars, makers of the world's finest cigars. Check out the Heritage or check out the Heritage Maduro, whatever suits your needs. Gurkha's got it. Gurkha's got it. Check it out. Ask your local B&M. I'm sure they've got a Gurkha that's right for you. So, talking about the plantation. So yeah, I guess if it's a second planting, so that's interesting. So they how many? Because they should be able to get a third crop in then if they're because they're almost at the point of harvesting. Can they grow another crop between February and April?
Well, they do their tobacco a lot different down there. It's the first time I've been to the Dominican, but what I noticed is two things. And Jared, correct me if I'm wrong, but in the Dominican, they prime, I mean, they actually prime and get the tobacco out of the fields much quicker than they do in Nicaragua. And I'm talking specifically not about wrapper, but about filler. Like Nicaragua, I mean, heck, they let that stuff go like, what is it, Jared? Like 2.5 months? Like, I mean, anywhere from about 80 days to, or actually more than that, like around 100 days, 120 days, up to 3 months. They let it go forever. But in the Dominican, I think he said all of them are out in 6 weeks. Is that what he said? Once they're in the ground, they're out in 6 weeks?
I can tell you right here, because I took some pictures and I've got them, that harvesting the leaves about 50 to 55 days after they transplant them to the field. Now, it takes about 2 weeks, I think he said, from planting to transplanting. Yep. So it's pretty quick.
It's pretty quick. Yeah, I mean, they get them in and out, which explains why the tobacco there is, you know, not as strong or has as much nicotine. Cause I mean, they get them in and out. So I don't know if they do three plantings or not, but the plantings they do are very quick. And the other thing I learned, which was quite interesting, in most of the world, other than the Dominican, you have Seco. We actually have Velado, but then you have Seco, Viso, Lajero.
Fantastic, by the way.
You are most welcome. Your next, in Dominican, all you have is Velado, Viso, Lajero.
Interesting. No Seco.
No Seco. Did I say that right, Jared?
Well, if you look at the little chart, they do Velado, Seco, Lajero.
Oh, Velado, Seco, Lajero. Okay. So there's no Viso.
So really, they just got high priming Seco for their Viso.
They don't have Viso, so like their Lajero is Viso and their Seco is Viso.
So either a low priming Lajero or a high priming Seco.
Right. It's very true.
That's interesting. I don't even think the Cubans do that. Strange.
I don't know. I thought it was quite interesting. Quite interesting.
Especially with the growing process, because you'd think the growing process should be pretty much the same. Like obviously the environment's going to be different, but you would think the growing process would be the same pretty much everywhere. So that's that's really interesting.
Yeah, It was quite a bit different.
Cool.
Actually, I thought it was interesting.
So
we went to the farm, and then we went to the curing barns. I thought it was kind of interesting. Their curing barns in Nicaragua, usually they'll hang the leaves, you know, across like maybe a 2-inch by 2-inch, like, wooden pole, you know, and they'll drape them back to back. What they do is they actually take the two leaves, wind them together, like take string and almost kind of like make a butterfly stitch out of them, and then they hang them on ropes.
Interesting.
Having the wood. It's kind of strange. Like, it kind of freaked me out. And then one dropped and hit the floor. So if you're smoking a cigar in about 3 years and it tastes a little dirty, well, that's the one that fell and hit the ground.
So I wonder why, did they give any I mean, you must have asked why use rope as opposed to dowels or 2x4s or whatever, 2x6s or whatever.
Did we ask?
I'm trying to remember if somebody asked. They might have. But I just know since they don't actually rotate the leaves in the barn, that the sewing them up was just as quick. They just sew the leaves together, hang them in the barn, and
yeah, I guess if you're not going to rotate the leaves, you don't need to make it very mobile. That's interesting.
Yeah, and these were also all binder filler leaves. These were not wrappers. So
right.
And so they just put them up and monitored temperature and humidity, and they opened the roof vents and the windows as needed to keep it all even without having to rotate.
So other than the rope thing, the curing barn really not
barn
a lot of difference
all the
between
same.
Farms all the same.
It was pretty big. It was bigger. And they have like 7 of them. But other than that, it was all the same.
All sun grown?
Yeah, actually it was all sun grown, wasn't it? I didn't see any.
Yeah.
No, there was. And that field coming back from whenever we went to the gazebo thing, wasn't there some?
They had some shade, but it looked like they were just probably for seeds, because they were actually all the way up to the top and seeded.
Okay,
whereas everything else was, you know, held back to just for leaves. I think that was where they were growing, you know, brood crop. Because it wasn't very large. It was a very small area they had set up like that.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't. Yeah, I mean, it was mostly sun grown. But I mean, for those who have not been to Nicaragua or Nicaragua or Dominican, if you have been to Nicaragua, though, I mean, dude, filler leaves from Nicaragua are just dank. They're just like thick and oily. Like you could basically take one off and smack someone across the face with it and break their nose. Uh-huh. Like Dominican's like a velvet glove. Like you touch it, like my fat body ran into a couple leaves and just snapped them off. They're just delicate, man. But it was good. It was good to see it. And we got to actually see. Another interesting thing is that a lot of the work in the field is done by Haitians that come over and do the work and then they go back home, which was kind of interesting.
I mean, things in Haiti are not great. Why would you go over to the Dominican? I mean, maybe it's a standard of living thing, but why would you go over to the Dominican Republic, work for a while, and then go home? If you have the opportunity to go to the Dominican Republic, why wouldn't you stay there?
Because these were just like seasonal temp workers. I actually asked them why, and I said, how many of these people are employed by General? And they're like, well, just like one or two that are the supervisors. And they're like, oh, I was like, where are the rest of them from? They said they're from Haiti. And I go, why? And I was like, oh, is it because, I mean, I get it financially, is that they're only going to be there for maybe 5-6 months out of the year. So why keep them on the payroll all year? So I totally get that. The Haitians make a little bit more than a full-time employee. So they make a good wage for the Dominican, which goes way farther in Haiti. Only work 6 months out of the year. So it kind of makes sense.
So essentially you're getting a full year's pay, but you're getting it in a 6-month period. So it's really like almost like a teacher where you get paid for a period and then you have that time off. That's interesting.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's very similar actually to just down here where a lot of labor comes from Mexico. They work for a few months out of the year and then they go back because they can make a lot of money here and then just go back home and, you know, it goes a lot farther.
Right.
With less time. So very similar process, it sounded like.
I'm learning a lot, actually. This is interesting.
I learned a lot. That was one thing. I mean, I've been on a lot of trips. I'm not saying I know everything because I don't. But, like, a lot of times these tours are very much the very similar thing.
Yeah, even going to Cuba.
Learned quite a bit.
Cool.
It was nice.
So,
all right, Jared, what do we do next?
So what did you do next?
Well, next was hard to beat. Next was lunch at the gazebo up on the hill there. Yeah, whole roasted pig, lots of sides. Some Presidente beers, and a view that was pretty hard to beat.
It was.
And same with the weather. Their weather down there was, well, better than mine. Warm, but cool.
And what's the cigar situation? We haven't really talked about the cigar situation up until now. There's boxes available to smoke. What have you guys been smoking up until this
point? It was okay.
Is that right?
There were boxes. Well, they didn't really have boxes.
There's boxes for days. There were cigars for days.
Yes.
Okay.
The only thing that we both didn't, well, I did not think about. It made perfect sense. Should have thought about it.
Didn't think about it.
You go on a tour in the Dominican.
Yep.
General Cigar is going to let you smoke their Dominican blends.
Yep.
Oh, so, only the Dominican blends.
Right. It was Macanudo, Cohiba, right. No Punch.
Any Macanudo Jamaica Reserve? Because I could smoke those all day.
Well, there was, but we can get to that later. We get to that later. But Logan, I don't know who was hooking us up.
Yeah, Logan's not a huge fan of the overly Dominican blends, so I could see that going.
Not really.
I'm not a huge Dominican fan myself either, to be honest.
But I did find some solace. And what was the one I was smoking? Not the bingy one, Jared, because we'll talk about that in a second. But what was the one that I smoked? I was like, it's not bad. Was it the Gold Label?
I remember, you mean the Macanudo Gold?
Yeah.
Did you smoke that one?
I smoked something. Or was it, oh, the Crew Royale. I smoked a couple of Macanudo Crew Royales and actually found it halfway enjoyable. Actually,
Macanudo.
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 It was quite nice.
Interesting.
Quite a bit of flavor. But then you had to be on the ball because every day in the morning or after lunch, they'd put down a box, which I'm guessing, you know, was a 10 count box. I don't really know. But some of the Partagas Benjis from 2009.
Ooh.
So I was just at the tray. I was at the water trough ready to go. Fat boy feeding. So basically Logan smoked from about, it wasn't lunch, but it was about dinner time that night. Pretty much smoked exclusively Partagas Benjis the rest of the trip because people would take pity on me. And I had at least three people say, oh, why don't you take it, Logan? Actually give it to me and let me smoke it. It was pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah, that was somebody's private stash out of somewhere.
It was. Those things, raged on it hard.
They don't have them anymore, and those things were extremely yellow on that cello.
Oh, my God. It was friggin' delicious.
Victoria mentioned that, too. She said, yeah, this is somebody pulling these out of their stash because they're not readily available. Yeah, no, we didn't find out who it was.
So that's day two. So you went back to the same hotel, had dinner. Did you have dinner at the hotel, or did you have dinner out?
That night was dinner at the hotel.
Was it?
Wasn't it? Because we set up upstairs by the pool.
I thought that was day, or was that, did we go out and eat this? Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Okay, you're right. Yep. We had pool. Yeah, we had dinner up by the pool. It was nice deal. They basically closed it off for just us. Really good views of, you know, the mountains where you could see kind of it didn't rain, but.
Yeah. I think I saw a picture of that on Facebook.
It was nice. It was very,
nice big pool.
Very classy.
Yeah. Day one was a nice, calm day. Walk the farm, come back early and relax. It was scheduled that way. Victoria's like, y'all have been in a plane for a whole day. How about we not, you know, stress you out to the max on day one? So it was a nice idea.
It was well thought out for shizzle.
Yes.
So we ate, after we got done eating, they had a band and yeah, we just kind of talked about all types of stuff, hung out with, Jared and I pretty much hung out with Ben Lee, and Hewitt, Fat Miner from Stogie Review quite a bit. And I think that night we ate with Patrick and then was Coop there too. I can't remember. I think so.
He was there. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, but yeah, it was a good night. Played some pool. Wasn't super late because we were obviously pretty tired.
Yep.
And then we went to bed. And then we started the next day. Jared woke me up, and I'll let Jared start it off.
And before Jared starts off on day three, we'll remind our audience you're tuned in to Cigar Chat broadcast live and heard around the world on the Armed Forces Radio Network. We are now broadcast on YouTube.com live and broadcast on Facebook Live. Thanks for all our Facebook Live listeners out there. And of course, haven't forgotten about you podcast listeners out there. This segment of Cigar Federation's Cigar Chat is brought to you by Cigar Oasis, the leaders and innovators in cigar humidification around the world, especially in the wintertime. Are your cigars protected if you're not using a Cigar Oasis product? You need to set it and forget it today. Set us off. Set the stage. Tell us about day three, Moonbeam.
All right, on me again. Let's see.
Moonbeam!
Well, let's start off first with the second day we went to the factory. We went to a General Cigar Dominicana.
Oh, we did, didn't we?
Yes, we did. And I'm kind of going to go out of order on something I noticed, but I'm looking at the maps. I'm trying to get my bearings on where in the Dominican we are and
you're
where we're rolling around
street.
At.
This is pretty funny.
I'm going to hit up the street. So I'm looking. We're in the free trade zone is where the factory's in. So you go in there and you go through a nice big gate and lots of tall walls and guards and all this stuff to get in this area.
Lots of businesses in there. Yeah.
Yes. Lots of them. But the main street you turn off of to go into the free trade zone in Spanish is Penetracion. And I'm saying, okay, I know what that means, but let me make sure that is what they mean by the street. So I did a few just Google searches just to make sure. Sure enough, the name of the street.
It you did the translate.
Penetration. It's Penetration.
Penetration street, Avenue.
Right? Nice.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun with figuring out whether it was Avenue or Street or which one would work best with that. But
I said that Penetration
interesting
Cove.
Location.
I think, yeah, that's, I can see that.
Penetration Cove.
Yeah. I mean, did they not find that amusing? Because, I mean, I would, even if I worked there day in and day out, I don't think I would ever stop making fun of that, ever.
No one mentioned it.
No one actually called attention to it, but it was pretty, pretty, pretty awesome.
All right. Well, tell me about this factory, because this factory must have been enormous.
It was actually two different ones.
Well, the first one we go into,
I'll let Jared talk.
You walk in the main door, because you'll jump in. We'll do it together. Okay. You'll remember things. I'll remember things. I'm going through my photos in the order I took them to remember what's going on here. The first one you walk through is that room with how many machines they have? I have 30, 40 different machines in there with the women sitting down.
Oh, at least.
Those
probably
big machines just making the machine roll little cigarillos just.
I mean,
pumping them out.
Talk about pumping them out, dude.
Yeah.
Pumping them out.
I couldn't even count how many of those tens of thousands of things they were putting out of there just.
It's crazy.
Nonstop. Lay a leaf down, it punches it, it rolls it quick. But so we walked in there and go to a pretty large warehouse style room. They had chairs and table with coffee and sodas and a lot of cigars, some different bales of tobacco, and set us down, let us have a couple cigars, or get started on some cigars to have a little slideshow presentation on tobacco so we could learn more about what they showed us the day before.
And how was the presentation, Logan?
It was quite enjoyable.
Yeah? Learn anything new?
Actually, I did. There was two things. I got to look at my photos here. All There's right. two things I took a picture of because I found them really interesting. Just give me one second here.
And while you're looking, it's also worth noting this is the day that Logan wears his Viso Seco Valero Velado shirt.
Nice choice. So,
and it got a lot of comments. Let me say
Did it?
It got lots of comments. Oh, absolutely it did.
Nice.
Because this was the day to talk about the tobacco plant, the leaves, the primings, and here's Logan with a shirt that is, to them, incorrect.
Yeah, they're like, it's wrong, it's wrong. And I'm like, dude, I know. Like, it's supposed to be ironic. Did they not do ironic in the Dominican? Apparently not.
Oh, they're saying the order of it's out of order.
Right, exactly.
Right. Yeah, whatever. So, it looks stylish. That's the point.
Oh, it's profiling, that's for sure. All right, so here's what I learned, which I did not know this, is that the higher you go up on the primings, the more nicotine content.
Right.
So like you're looking
for more sunlight.
Yep. So Velado is, like they said, 1%, and then the Lajero, a.k.a. Medio Tempo, which I think is wrong because stuff in Nicaragua is way stronger than this. But it was 4% nicotine. But what I did not know is the actual sugars in the leaf, which actually provide a lot of the flavors, is actually, or so they say, is that, I'm going to do it, not Velado, but Seco Viso is actually got 20% sugars. And then you actually lose sugars as you go to Lajero, and Velado's actually lose sugars as you go down. So
really?
The middle actually has more sugar content, which they said is best for aging.
Now I'm not an agronomist, but that's interesting
weird,
that it would be the middle of the plant, because you would think the sugars would go to the top of the plant where the flower is, right?
Right.
That's interesting.
I don't know. I thought that was quite interesting.
I guess that makes sense why you'd get the majority of your flavor profile then from the Viso if that's where the sugars are.
Yeah, well, that was quite interesting.
Cool.
But anyways, that was interesting. So then we set through the presentation. And then what do we do after that, Jared? Is that when we walked through the fermentation?
Yeah, we went through a couple different fermentation rooms with hanging the leaves, controlling humidity. We went through the ladies sorting some of the tobacco leaves, you know, spreading them out and getting them flat and ready to be taken. And let's see, what else did we do? We went to the rooms. Oh, yeah, we got tons of rooms with tobacco leaves fermenting, lots of nice ammonia aromas to keep you awake.
Let me
say this. No falling asleep.
Let me say this. is that I've been in several rooms where they actually will sweat the tobacco and they're fermenting it. And the ammonia is quite rough.
Yeah.
But there was this one room there where they were trying to really humidify it. I mean, seriously, I walked in there for 5 seconds and I couldn't stop coughing and I had to go out.
Panic mode?
Punishing.
It was the 100% humidity room.
Interesting.
And you open the door and you can't see. It's just like walking into a cloud of ammonia.
I mean, you think it's water vapor? No, it's ammonia vapor. And it hurt bad. It was rough.
Very few people lasted more than 10 seconds before they came out coughing. And nobody lasted more than 2 seconds before they were coughing.
That's true.
It was rough. Rough room.
The other thing, which I found very interesting about their pilones, and this I found just completely fascinating. Like, pilone, you think in Nicaragua, is, you know, typically on the concrete floor. Mm-hmm. It's in, like, I mean, I don't know what you'd call this shape, but it's almost like a rectangle with, like, curved ends. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And it's stacked up fairly high, a couple thousand pounds, whatever.
Yeah, there, it's like 3,000 pounds or something like that.
Yeah, 1,000 pounds, 2,000 pounds. They're pretty big. Well, there, and then they're each individually covered, you know, with maybe a tarp or whatever. Yep. Well, there, it was completely different. It was almost like, think of like that same rectangle, mm-hmm. but it had no top, and it was just a wooden kind of box that they put stuff in.
Hmm.
So it was like, it was really strange. Like, it was much more vertical. So they got the same pilone instead of it maybe taking up being 4 or 5 feet off the ground, maybe. And really big, it was basically, I don't know, Jared, some of them, like, were taller than us, like, substantially taller, you know, 8 foot tall, but they're, like, just packed in. I just thought it was really, really strange how they did that.
Yeah, because, I mean, first of all, my thought would be, you put it in a wooden box, isn't there a danger that that box is going to ignite? Because if the pilone isn't taken care of, it would, I mean, it's going to burn, right? The heat is going to light that box up. And second of all, my understanding of the whole purpose of the tarp is to keep the heat in, because a lot of times it's really tough to get that fermentation process started. You soak the leaves down, you cover the tarp, it raises humidity, gets that process started. If you don't have it covered, that's got to be a really slow fermentation process. But maybe that's what they're going for. Maybe they're going for a slower fermentation process.
Well, they are covered on the top with a tarp.
Oh, they have a tarp on the top.
Yeah.
Okay.
They have a plastic and a cloth cover on them. And on the ones that weren't opened, it actually covered the sides as well.
Interesting.
But the other thing is like, it didn't, the other thing I noticed is that, you know, at least my experience, the factories I've been to in Nicaragua, it's a couple different ones, and they're doing, you know, fermentation. I mean, depending on what leaf it is, dude, they're letting that thing get up to like 120, 130 degrees where it's dang near to catch fire. Like, there, I didn't see, I mean, I don't know about you, Jared, but most of the temperatures where they were flipping them was like 100, like 90 degrees. Like, they were flipping them really quick. Did you notice that, or was that just me?
Most of it was. There was one, and I'm looking at it now because I noticed that. But this one I took a picture of, they had most of the flips were 108. I see 116, 119. They had 126 on one day.
Okay.
So
on just that one alone, or just all of them?
No, on this one chart they had with the temps. It was starting to get pretty hot, but most of them, I mean, they were flipping those things 80, 90 degrees.
Yeah. I mean, they were flipping it like a day on the beach down there in Corpus, like yesterday, just flipping it for no reason. It's crazy. So we went through a couple rooms, and then we did lunch.
Talk to me about lunch. The fat boy trapped inside of me wants to know about these meals. Tell me about these meals.
The meals were, I mean, all the meals in general were good. I mean, there was usually two different kinds of meat, and then they always did a dessert, which was delicious. And then,
dessert.
It was good. I don't remember what they were. I remember there was one day that they had that chicken thing, Jared, and that thing was legit. I ate like three of those.
I think that was day one.
I don't remember
day one of the tour, not day one in Dominican.
Right. It was delicious.
The day we're on now, I remember there was the salmon, which was the best salmon I've ever had. That stuff was, had a dill sauce on it. It was ridiculous.
Mm.
And then they had some meat medallions, salad is always some rice and beans and a dessert. Nothing to
complain. It's very sugary. And use a lot of coconut. Did you notice that?
Yes, they love coconut in their desserts.
Yeah, they do.
Fine by me.
Coconut. Yeah, I liked it.
Tina, yeah, I'm a big fan of coconut.
Dessert, but be her loss.
Yeah, well.
And we got to watch them press the tobacco.
Dude, that was awesome.
Like, oh, like, you know, like, the, like press the Pologne or whatever? Or?
Right.
No. Well, after it's been in the Pologne.
Yeah.
And it's already fermented, and then they want to age it and put it in a bale. We got them actually to see them make the bale, and it was completely different than I would have ever expected. Jared, you go first. Sorry, I cut you off.
Yeah, okay, well, they put it in this wooden box where the sides can be unpinned. So they pin the box together. They stack the tobacco in there real nice. They've put burlap down in it first. Then they stack it at the top, burlap over the top, and toss this thing in a big, just like if anybody ever used a cardboard compactor or anything at a warehouse or somewhere, you pile in the top, huge hydraulic press comes down and press it. They press it down a little square, roll it out, and then push off the side. And this is what Logan just could have watched for days.
Dude, this it was guy, awesome.
This guy comes up with a big needle, grabs a piece of pre-cut string, and then starts folding and hand sewing these things down. I mean, looked like a machine did these things.
No kidding.
Oh, it was beautiful. And I asked, they said that guy, I mean, there was two guys doing it. And there was the guy that was setting down, which was a man after my own heart. He was the old guy. And they said he'd been working for General for 26 years. Wow. And that he had stitched. I remember they said a number, but like, I mean, him versus the other guy was like rookie status. And he'd been there, what, like 8 years or something?
He was still a
rookie at it. Like, his looked like crap. But this other guy's, dude, was so quick. It's so fast and like so beautiful. Like, it was awesome. That guy was freaking cool.
They even hand sewed the label on these things.
They did.
That would have been cool to get a video of for sure.
Yeah, well, you live and you learn. But yeah, it was actually super cool. That was actually quite awesome. And then what did we do after that, Jared? We didn't go to the box factory. That was the last day.
Yeah, no, we went to a room where they had those huge wooden crates full of tobacco for blending.
Oh,
so they could go in there and say, we have these crates of, you know, 2008, you know, whatever it was, Seco here, and then just all ready to blend. Huge. I mean, these crates were...
They're not small.
Like what, 3 feet tall, 4 feet deep, and I don't know.
5 feet wide, probably.
Yeah, a big crate, a lot of tobacco.
You could get a human in there comfortably, maybe even two.
You can get a couple in there easy. You can get more than that, really.
If you chop them up.
Kind of tight, but you can get four people laying in there.
Yeah,
you shouldn't chop people up, for the record, for our audience. Don't chop people up.
I'm just trying to give you a visual here.
Cigar Federation does not endorse chopping people up.
Chopping people up and putting a bit of wood.
The views of chopping people up do not... represent CigarFederation.com.
The opinions and or beliefs of Cigar Federation, SigFed Media LLC, Incorporated. Thank you. Go ahead, Jared.
Now, if you have something on that, go ahead. Otherwise, I was going to move on to what else we were doing that day.
That was really cool. I mean, you went around and, like, there was just tobacco. I mean, literally, you walk in, and it's what it feels like when you're in, like, a warehouse that has, like, just, like, it's like a Home Depot, kind of. Just, like, just crates and crates and crates and, like, dude, it was like a tobacco wonderland. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, he said they had the oldest one in the warehouse for the, was 1998, I believe.
Woo!
Or was it 98 or 93?
I remember him saying 98.
I believe you. But yeah, they went in there and they said they had 9 digits in tobacco inventory.
Yeah, in U.S. dollars, unprocessed, just as it sat.
Wow.
The other
wicked.
Yeah. The other interesting thing he said, too, is they could stop harvesting tobacco that day and still roll the same amount of cigars for another 2 years before they ran that warehouse out. And that was just that one warehouse that we were in, not all of them.
Not the five or six they have around the Caribbean.
Right.
Well, we'll get back to that in just 1 second, though. I want to remind our audience, you're tuning into Cigar Chat, broadcast live on CigarFederation.com, picked up on YouTube.com, and of course, Facebook Live, and we are heard around the world in the Armed Forces Radio Network, thanks to all our podcast listeners out there. This segment is brought to us by who, Logan?
This segment is brought to you by Logan putting paper in his printer so he can print something off. Actually,
that doesn't seem really relevant to the live Cigar Chat.
Listen, I'm getting there. This segment's brought to our good friends at Drew Estate. We have the third annual Drew Estate Cigar Federation Cigar Safari coming up, which I still need to book my flight surgeon, so I need to get on that.
Oh, my God.
I know it. But that's coming up here in
34 days?
Yeah, about a month. Man, that's quick. Coming up in about a month. And, yeah, I think we have three spots left because somebody canceled like a jerkopotamus. Check it out. It'll change your life. You like what you're hearing tonight on Cigar Chat? Go see it for yourself and get to hang out with me for 3 days.
Woo-hoo! Now, who should they contact, Logan, if they're interested in the trip? Should they email you?
Me or you, either one.
Logan at CigarFederation.com or sure. I don't even know what my email address is. Surgeon at CigarFederation.com?
I think it's John.
No, it used to be John, and then it got deleted.
Then it's Surgeon.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Surgeon. Anyway, you can email me, surgeon at cigarfederation.com, or email Logan at cigarfederation.com. The trip will change your life. If you've not been down and you're like, it seems like a few bucks, honestly, it's worth the price of a couple boxes of cigars. You will be talking about, there's not a guy that has gone down and on the way back to the airport has said, I can't wait to come back. And that's pretty much how it goes. At any rate, Moonbeam, take
unless
us.
Unless you build houses. Unless you build houses.
Yeah.
Coconut shovels.
You might think twice.
I will always have the scars in my heart and hands. Jared, take us away. So you factory was cool. What did you do after the factory? Had lunch.
Lunch was at the factory. Into a meeting room where they brought it in and gave a kind of buffet style serving. So then we went back out into the factory floor, and we went to watch a couple of fairly quick go through the wrapper bunch, the roller buncher guys, take a look at them, you know, watch the, if you haven't seen it before, I've seen it a few times, and it's still interesting to watch these guys do this.
So they
do the wrapping, getting all over the place, the bunching, they showed the guys doing the draw testers, some quality control stuff. They walked us through the best part, which would be the aging rooms where there's, I can't take enough pictures of those rooms because that beautiful. Many cigars is, it's a beautiful thing.
It was. And I even found some hidden gems in there. I really like the, the Paragas Spanish Rosado? They haven't made that thing in like 5 years. Logan was able to sniff out a whole box of 342 of them.
Woo! Well done.
I didn't take one. I thought about it, though. Because they just handwrite, 342. I was thinking about crossing it out with a pen and putting 341, But I did not do that. I should have.
And also, they're pretty smart when they take you to the aging rooms, because instead of the Victoria and one or two guys that are talking to us, they brought about, five or six bouncers to go stand down different aisles to kind of keep an eye on everybody to make sure you don't... It'd be pretty easy to wander around and grab some handfuls.
They know you guys are just a pile of weasels. They've seen you. Yeah, they know. It's true. We are a pile of weasels. There's no question.
All right. So, Jared, now we got to tell them about the blending.
That was about the end of... We walked around the... we also saw that because we can go to blending the next day. Mm-hmm. But after we looked at the factory, we watched the some rolling, some wrapping. We watched them box and band a little bit. Saw the rooms and just carts and stacks of cigars. And then we went to the box factory and watched them make the boxes. That place was scary. That was me. I was like, this
very
is
industrial
right here. Oh, fairly industrial. Yeah.
Very.
One or two OSHA rules.
No, they were legit, dude. I was impressed. It wasn't some jankopotamus woodworking shop.
That's kind of what I would expect.
Chopped off. No, it was legit. The tool. I mean, I don't know anything about the tools they had, but
good tools.
It was very mechanized. It was very good. Except I did not like, because I'm kind of a chubby guy, is the second upstairs just had 4x8 sheets of plywood, and it would bounce a little bit. Mm. So I was literally creeping around tippy toes, not stepping on the same boards as people, because you could see where boards had recently been replaced. where someone had either fallen through and or, and it was funny because in every building you went to, there was, it said, you know, days since last accident. And in that building, it was 5 days. And I'm like, oh man, somebody fell through the ceiling. And I didn't want to be the guy that fell through. You should have saw me. Like, I was terrified the whole time. I was like, guys, I got to get out of here. I couldn't do it. I was like, let's get out of here. And then you have Jared jumping on the boards right next to me. Like, it was freaking terrifying, dude.
Kind of like, Logan's got like a cat walking through the dog pound while everybody's asleep. Just don't.
I mean,
don't
seriously.
Move. Don't move. And I was the one poking the dogs, like, huh? Huh? Wake up?
I mean, that was about as.
It was entertainment.
You know, nimbly as I've moved in a long time. Like, I mean, that was light as a feather. And, but Jared, I don't know how, because they have big machines upstairs. I don't know how people don't fall to the floor. Like, it was terrifying. When you get me, Ben Lee, and you, and Hewitt on one square, like, we went down about an inch and a half, and I thought it was over. I thought it was over.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's some warning methods on elevators for sure right there, let me tell you.
Dude, it was scary.
Yeah.
All talking right, about the so, OSHA side, though, they yeah. had respirators. They were all
wearing.
They good. Had, the whole wood shop had a very, very adequate, well-done duction system to pull the dust out. Each machine was vented.
Nice.
All the painters' booths had actual big, fully vented booths where they painted into the paint was instantly pulled out behind them. It looked
like the same as you would see in American. It was not cheaply done. They did it well.
Done right.
Nice. All right. Well, tell me about the blending. The blending sounded awesome.
You want to finish the day with dinner because the blending was the next day.
Okay. Yep. And, hit me
we'll
up.
Need to hurry because we got 10 minutes.
We got 9 minutes.
The only good thing about the dinner was that Rancho Steakhouse, but was the 40-ounce steaks a couple of the guys got that were just
the tomahawks, dude.
Oh god,
the, babies that, on plates. I mean, internal fat boy would have been. I would have finished off a 40-ounce tomahawk and a dessert.
Hewitt and Lee both did.
Yes, they did.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I will let Logan go on this blending because he's ready to run.
I'm not ready to run. I'm just we gotta get moving, Doc.
No, I meant you ready to run on the blending. You're there.
We went back to the factory the next day. When we got there, they had a bunch of tobacco, just filler laying out, you know, Nicaraguan, Honduran, pretty much everything, Dominican, you know, a bunch of different varietals. And it was nice, man. We had their best roller come in. And dude, this guy was awesome. Like their best buncher. He was rolling up Puritos of this stuff that looked better than regular cigars. Like it was done well. So we got to put our blend together. So we had three choices of leaves that we got to choose. And I believe it was Sumatra. It was Oso from Honduran. And then it was something or Connecticut. So we kind of put all of our blends together and basically, you know, it was a good amount of time. It was like probably 3 hours. We got to mess around. And then it was actually really good, and we had plenty of time to do it. And I want Jared to talk about the next parts because he'll be able to talk about the hilarity, which was Logan Lawler, and which was different. Let me tell you this. So normally when we go to Cigar Safari, you do that same thing. You put your blend on a piece of paper, and then they pass it off to someone who rolls it, and then they go roll it. Oh, no. General Cigar, you take your blend. They bring you the box of raw materials. And you get to punch, roll, bind your 20 cigars
and box them.
Every step.
Let's talk about this because this is quite interesting.
All right, we'll do this. We'll try and crunch it down here. So first thing, they take you, sit you down in front of the machine. I forget the name of that roller. No, they don't do their bunching by hand. You set it down. It's little
Lieberman table.
Lieberman table. You set it down on the little rubber sheet there. You put down your binder. Your two binder leaves, you reach in the bucket beside you, and you got to pick out your blend.
Yep.
And they have somebody helping you kind of get it close, but you're still picking it up. You're putting it in there yourself, and then you're rolling this thing. You're trying to make sure it looks good and bunch it in the
freaking
mold.
Freaking disaster.
Yes. Tough. And I
thought
it these I poor was people, so awesome.
Oh, yeah.
They these must have been laughing and laughing.
They were loving Logan.
Because they do this to them, it looks so easy, and they're watching us just fumble around and break leaves, throw things everywhere. It's like, this is, oh man, it was. And some people didn't even get theirs finished. They said, you know what, we got to go. We're out, next stage. So
then we went off. To, I like this stage because normally, at least what I've seen in Nicaragua when they do stripping, is normally what they'll do is on a filler leaf, they'll take half of the center vein out and it looks like a pair of frog legs. But with wrappers or the wrapper, they'll strip it all the way down the middle so you have two halves.
Yep.
Well, all I've ever seen it done is where someone will take on their arm and then twist the leaf around and split it that way. They Yeah, exactly. They had a machine doing it.
What?
And dude, yeah. Oh my God. I was like, I can't do this. I'm going to lose a finger. Like I'm going to lose a finger. Like you literally, you put it in and it had a little thing and you could just see the little teeth getting ready to take your little flanges off and you had to hit the gas. And as you did it, you had to spread the leaves out. Like, so like almost like spreading butt cheeks or some shit or like basically, yep. That's it. Anyway, so spreading it out and then it would suck the leaf in and, but you couldn't, you had to keep, you had to let, not push the gas to get it go. You had to let off. Dude, it was so freaky.
It had a go pedal and a brake pedal because it's electric, and you had to just feather it perfect.
What?
It was a mess. It was a mess. Like, I was literally mangling, like, all these leaves, and my lady, like, would take them out and look at them, and she would just shake her head. She was just like, nope, can't use these. Like, it was bad, dude.
She's like, do you realize you're ruining wrapper leaves, right? You're not ruining my binders. You're messing up my wrapper.
Oh, man. Slogan.
Oh, no, well, I think their hope was they're like, okay, if these white boys do it right, then, you know, I'll be able to use this in my daily production number. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Not Logan's. No, not Logan's.
So then it takes us to where we get to try and wrap our cigars, which
joke
I thought was easier than trying to bunch.
I thought bunching was easier.
I thought wrapping was pretty. I mean, it's tough. They make it look, of course, simple as can be, but so we went and had to wrap our, I don't know, depends on how they made, 15 to 20. Well, it depends on how many they,
five to
they
10,
did.
And yeah. Then, yeah, you had to do
we
the rest.
We did the rest. So we wrapped, jumped off that station, go to the next spot, which is my favorite part. They set us all down where all the ladies do the, put the labels
worst part.
On.
Worst part.
They put your cigars down, they put a label next to you. And you have to put the cigar in a little box, line it up with the base, and stick your finger in the glue and get the label. So Logan's the first one to sit down.
They set me down on first on purpose so everyone can laugh.
We're all sitting there kind of watching him while he slowly gets everybody else seated.
Sausage fingers.
And Logan puts it on, wraps it. It takes him while he gets one on. He's like, yeah. And then the bang goes pop. So Logan
did that at least four times.
And every time Logan would wait like a couple seconds longer and go, yay. And pop, the band would snap off.
Dude, it's so hard, man.
I almost couldn't do it because I was laughing so hard watching Logan do it so many times.
I had all these Dominican ladies coming over just laughing hysterically at me, and my lady was digging it. Like, I was talking to her in English, and she was talking to me in Spanish, and the only thing I picked up, she's like, más suave, like, more soft, or something like that. Okay. So I was like, okay. And then I finally got a couple. The worst part, you would not believe how impossible this is you have to put the cigar in cello. You think it's so freaking easy. Like, literally, she would just was pushing them in. Like, I was pushing them. I couldn't do it. It would not go in. So it got to the point where I was taking the cello and just, like, flipping my arm like I was throwing a curveball to slide the cigar down to the end of the cello. And my lady was just, like, shaking her head. She's like, suave. And I'm like, suave. And I'm just like, it's not going. Like, dude, it was an absolute disaster.
Turns out it's a bit of an artisanal process. We're gonna carry that on in our After Dark segment here because we are up against it with the Armed Forces Radio Network. So I just want to take a moment and thank all of our Armed Forces Radio Network listeners out there, wherever you are in the world. We hope that you've enjoyed this 58 minutes of hilarity and insanity, and we hope that you guys have a great weekend because, as we always say not sharing our pairings, this is Cigar Chat, and as we say in Cigar Chat, you guys are built to do things we are not built to do. Thank you very much for your service. Wherever you are in the world, we hope you've been entertained. We'll catch you next week on Cigar Chat.
Get you some.
All right, so now we're in the After Dark. We probably shouldn't swear because we're on Facebook, but please carry on because Mas Suave sounded very entertaining to me.
Mas Suave.
But it's hilarious, too, because there's Logan just, I mean, talking up a storm, and this lady's just looking at him like, I have no idea
what you're saying.
She was talking back in Spanish like we were talking to each other. It was awesome. And I think I was the only guy with both my roller and my packaging lady to both get hugs. Like, they were just loving Logie. They were just digging me. I got high fives and hugs because they just took on special ed over here. Because he would not, he might have his MBA. He might be a smart guy, but they're not employing Logan in General Cigars Dominicana anytime soon. Because it was a shit show. Major shit show. So let me say this, is that we did not know that during this process, because I ordered on my cigar, I did the OSA band or the OSA wrapper, which is kind of like a Habano. It's kind of like maybe a, you know, Colorado, maybe a little darker, a wrapper. And all of our cigars looked exactly the same. And I did not talk to Jared throughout this process. So I thought that they were just giving us regular tobacco, all the same stuff. And then they were having someone else roll the cigars that we would actually get. Cause they were like, yeah, you're going to get a box of your own blend. Right. Well, did not know that at all. So we get down to, you know, bunching it all up, and then Jared, tell them about dinner. And I want you to talk about and they were like, we're going to pick the best awards for the best cigars. And I thought I had it in the bag, but Jared can talk about it.
What's to talk about there? I guess my first dinner was
at Camp David.
Well, Camp David, which is the most legit spot to sit and have some dinner. I mean, I was trying to get an elevation. I couldn't get it, but you got to go up the mountain to the point that your ears start to pop. You're pretty high up there. You got a view of Santiago and that whole side of the Dominican you're on. You can see the entire thing. So the view was ridiculous. I mean, so the first 30 minutes was everybody just taking pictures and trying to get set up and enjoy the view, because at least where I'm at in South Texas, I don't get elevations more than sea level to 30 feet. So this building's taller than that. So.
Sorry, Logan's fixing his printer.
Logan is multitasking.
So anyways, we had dinner, had another good dinner. And at the end, they're like, yeah, we're going to sit down and announce the winners or whoever had the best cigar. Well, needless to say, Logan's pretty awesome at blending cigars, done a lot, got a pretty good palate, he thinks. So Logan's like, Logan's going to win this thing. And then they're like, oh, by the way, the cigars that you actually are getting are the ones that you actually rolled and bunched. And I'm like, what? Like, I didn't realize that. So they're like, we're judging it in order, I believe, was construction, in appearance, and then flavor. Was that
and
right?
And also, there was all that. There was also the one other main criteria was when you blended your cigar, you had to write on there whether you were trying to make a mild, a medium, or full-bodied cigar. So that another rating was how close was your blend to what you said it would be. But other than that, you're right.
Yeah. So they, first of all, the box of the cigars, they had taken a picture of all of us, and they had burnt on, or however you did it, the picture of us on the box, which was really cool. So third place was a close running between Brian Hewitt and Ben Lee of Stogie Review. Second place wasn't it Dojo?
Yeah, it was his son.
His
Jordan.
Son. Yeah, Jordan from Dojo. And then, Jared, you want to tell him who got first place?
Well, yeah, I do, because it was Moonbeam.
Moonbeam.
Nicely done.
Which, first of all, let me just tell for everybody out there in the peanut gallery taking notes here, is such horseshit, because Jared used a Connecticut wrapper. He pandered to his audience and pandered to them. He played up to their Dominican sensibilities. Where Logan's over here making a freaking quad La Hero bomb, which, by the way, was quite enjoyable and burnt quite well and was actually quite tasty. And it gave me, I don't usually get a nicotine buzz from cigars, but this one, woo, did not mess around. But yeah, Jared got first place and won a box of the Jamaican Reserve Estate, didn't you?
Yeah, the 45th Anniversary Estate Reserve Limited Editions.
Yeah, those are really good. Nicely done, Moonbeam. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Way to represent SigFed.
That's what I was saying. SigFed took home the gold, although the teammate that was supposed to take home the gold, Michael Phelps, did not take it home. Ryan Lochte took it home. But hey, nobody's counting. Nobody's counting.
Hey, at least I didn't go mess with the cops.
You didn't mess with the cops. I didn't mess with the cops.
At least I didn't. Well, I was guessing that was Ryan. Ryan and
Ryan Lochte. Oh, I got it. Yeah,
that was
you ripped down a sign in a drunken stupor. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, all in all, it was a very good trip. Like I said, I was not expecting. I'm not trying to be a jerk here, but I was not expecting to learn all that much, you know. And just because I've been several different factories down in Nicaragua a bunch, I actually learned quite a bit. And I thought it was quite an insightful and learning trip where I learned a lot. And it was good. It was all different. I mean, they had what I thought was the cool. It was like you go on Cigar Safari, you might have JD there for a couple hours, or you might get Willie for a couple hours. But you mostly get, you know, Pedro or Henry to do the tours. This, like, the head of their factory. I mean, Don Kiko runs their tobacco growing operation. Like, that's his job. He was there with us every minute of every day walking around the factory, and they were with us there the entire time. Like, they had, like, probably their most five or six senior guys in the Dominican with us at all times.
Yeah, that's
even,
like, impressive.
Even dinner. Yeah. It was great.
The hotel, too. They'd come back to the hotel and be sitting out there smoking cigars at the cigar bar with us. They were everywhere with us.
They were good people.
Very cool.
So it was quite awesome.
And I have a job offer down there with my blend, too, that I might have to take someday.
So that sounds like, that sounds like a really awesome trip. I'm hoping that, if there's another Cigar Media trip, maybe I'll get to go next time. Because
you're just going to have to treat me better.
I'll see what I can do. I mean, you know, I figure I come up with the fancy broadcast technology. I got the equipment,
This is true. I might have to kick you up a notch on that one.
But no, that does sound really cool. I mean, and like you said, I mean, I've certainly been on, I don't even know how many factory tours at this point, like 20 or 30 factory tours. So the fact that you could go on a factory tour, on a field tour, and learn stuff that you didn't know before, that's exceptionally cool.
Yeah, so I will say that there was knowledge to be learned, even if you've been on, like, say, I've been on Drew Estate
bunch.
I thought it would be similar. Nah, new knowledge.
Lots of new knowledge.
Very cool. Well, thanks very much, guys, for sharing that knowledge with all of our live audience and, of course, all of our podcast audience that have been out there tuned in after the fact. We thank you very much for subscribing, and we'll be back on Cigar Federation next week at a regular scheduled time of Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard. And Sharing Our Pairings will be having our 100th episode with a special guest.
Really?
Special guest, 100 episodes of Sharing Your Pairings. It's a special guest. I can't announce
it. It's not like a secret guest. Just
it's a secret guest. It's special secret. Yeah.
Well, you can tell me once we get off.
Yeah, I will. But that will be on Wednesday at a regular time of 8 p.m. Eastern as well. And I will be smoking because the weather will return to normality. So that'll be a good time. So make sure to tune in that. And thanks very much, everyone who tuned in. Have a great weekend. Stay safe.
Get your pets spayed or neutered. Be